from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Just like that, into hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be back with you as we put college football week number one into the rear view mirror. And what a week one it was. We had some teams embarrassing themselves, looking down at you, Florida State University. We had some coaches embarrassing themselves, looking at you, Brian Kelly. We had some teams that decided to put everybody on notice. Yes, Zach, I am talking about your DU, as Miami looked real good on the road at Florida.
Slow your roll, Miami. You know Georgia. You know Ohio State. I mean, come on.
I will say, Zoe, it took your Buckeyes a little minute to get rolling against the mighty Zips.
It did
in week one.
It absolutely did. But once the thing started rolling, it rolled.
We are going to talk about all of those teams and more as the show rolls on today, ladies and gentlemen. We spent the first hour talking Clemson football. If you missed Tiger Talk in hour number one, after the show is over, you'll be able to head on over to the website at thefanupstate.com, pull up the podcast section, and download that on demand, or just download the Rob Brown Show wherever you find your podcast, and you can hear all of the Clemson talk we brought to the table in hour number one, as soon as they are uploaded, right at the conclusion of the radio broadcast. You're welcome. We are going to talk quite a bit of South Carolina football in this hour of the show, because while things did not go great for Clemson, I am also going to point out they didn't exactly go swimmingly in Columbia, South Carolina either. So let's talk about that coming up in a minute. We'll also react to some of the other biggest games from around the college football landscape and, of course, begin to shift our attention ahead to the weekend upcoming, because the weekend upcoming is week numero uno in the NFL. We have a game Thursday night. We have a game Friday night. We have game Sunday all day. And we got Monday night football coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, football season is now hitting the throttle, pow, all the way to the top. Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty excited about that. And we're going to talk some NFL later on in the show, including today making our selections for the winner of the NFC East and the AFC East. We will do that today. Tomorrow, we'll make our selections for the AFC and NFC North. Then we'll do the West on Thursday, and we will do the South coming up on Friday. All of that ahead for you on the Rob Brown Show, but none of that ahead before we get to the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know as you head to your office in, what, 55 minutes and some change? You got to get clocked in after a nice, long, relaxing three-day weekend. Look, what I don't want you to do is overexert yourself on the first day back in the office. You've been out a couple of days, all right? You got to give yourself time to get warmed up. You got to give yourself time to get into that flow state. So, you know, go in, pop off the emails, make sure you're good. Nothing catastrophic happening around the office today. But once that's done, take that first break. You've earned it. All right. Take that first break. Walk down the hallway. Go find Jane. Jane works down. I believe Jane is in IT. Real smart, smart lady, old Jane. But Jane loves her some football too. You know, she's a big college football fan. She's going to want to talk some football. So when you go find Jane, you're going to need to know what's going on in the world of sports so you don't embarrass yourself. And as a listener of the Rob Brown Show, so you don't embarrass us. All right? That's why every day at 7 a.m., we help you out with this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM, and start talking sports with your coworkers. Start talking sports with your friends, all right? They're going to want to know what you know about these things. So here we are. Let's dive right in with item number one. Yeah, it's things are not good down in Tallahassee, Florida. 28-13, the Boston College Eagles hand Florida State University their second loss in as many weeks. It is just the third time that an FCS team, an FBS team, started two games as double-digit favorites and lost both of them. DJ Uiagalelei getting the nod for FSU, threw for 50%, 21 of 42, 272 with a touch and a pick. He was awful yesterday. Just atrocious yesterday. As long as all you need DJ to do is throw 7-yard out routes, you got a shot. But that's not all they needed him to do, and he couldn't do anything else, including missing multiple touchdown passes into the end zone. Not a great night for DJ Uiagalelei, and absolutely zero help from the run game. Florida State ran the ball 16 times to amass a whopping 21 yards of rushing for a team that was supposed to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides. They got 21 yards of rushing and surrendered 263 on the ground to Boston College. Kai Robichaux had 85, Trishon Ward 77, quarterback Thomas Castellanos 73, Turbo Richard, which is a great name for a running back, by the way, Turbo Richard, 4 carries, 28 yards last night. Boston College, 263 yards on the ground in Tallahassee, by the way, makes FSU 0-2 in the ACC, and If you picked Florida State to win the Atlantic Coast Conference, you're going to have a bad time.
Like I did.
Because this is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Flaccid tomahawk chops. Didn't think that was possible.
Oh.
Every time they show the crowds, like, and then some guys just halfway through just quit and looked at the ground.
It was rough, dude. It was a rough, rough night for the Noles. Mike Norvell, in his post-game press conference, said that he has, quote, failed. He said, quote, I'm sick of how this season has started tonight. I failed in preparing the team to go out and respond. There is a theory floating around right now. We got a text earlier that said, Rob is an FSU fan. I knew we are terrible, and I knew we were going to be because of the bowl game last year. He lost the team. And I think that's a little dramatic. I don't think he lost the team because of the bowl game. I just don't think the team's very good. And keep in mind, and I don't know how much of a difference this would make, although to say it would make none is silly. Remember, Florida State threw all their chips on the table to get Cam Ward. Cam Ward, of course, ended up going down to DU and tow up Florida in their season opener. And look, I had a theory about DJ Uiagalelei. I had a theory that maybe playing a year in Oregon State, playing a year in Corvallis, maybe there was a chance that playing a year with no pressure, playing a year where you weren't expected to be the man, playing a year where expectations of Heisman trophies and conference championships weren't a thing, that maybe he would have had a chance to develop as a quarterback. But the reality is he didn't. The reality is he's the same guy he was when he left Clemson. He's the same guy he was when he got effectively the boot from Pickens County. He's just not the guy. All right. He's fine. He's acceptable, but he ain't championship caliber. And if you ask him to throw a football over 7 yards, it's a wing and a prayer. So we'll see what happens with Florida State from here. There's not a rebound though. There's not a rebound. There's no coming back from this. This is going to be a lost season. This is going to be a season that FSU begins to prep for next season. Will it matter? I don't know. We'll find out. Here's my biggest question. Based on what you've seen in comparison to last year for Florida State, do they have buyer's remorse signing Mike Norvell to $1.7 billion contract extension? Is there buyer's remorse for this team? Are the folks in the front office today going, oh no, we gave Norvell way too much money and he got comfortable, or he fooled us with last year? Like, is this going to be a warning, a precautionary tale to schools about locking up coaches on long-term contracts after a single season of success? I don't know. Talk about that later on in the show. Let's get to item number two. Oh, woulda, coulda, shoulda. The official fight song of the 2004 Atlanta Braves. A four-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies came to its conclusion on Sunday. So why is it on Tuesday's water cooler cheat sheet? It's not about what did happen, which is, of course, that the Atlanta Braves held a lead in three of four games and lost all three of those games against the Phillies. The Atlanta Braves had a lead in three of the four games in the four-game series. They won one. They come out of Philly 1-3 after what felt like a promising build-up. It felt like a promising game one as the Bravos jumped out to a 4-0 lead. They gave all four back and lost the game. They took game two, game three, and four, held a two-game lead in both of those, and ended up giving them away. Atlanta finished this series, and I don't know the exact number, but I know going into the extra innings of the Sunday finale, which ended up going to 11, the Braves were 2-for-20 with runners in scoring position. 2-for-20. And then they end up in the extra frames going 0 for the entire extra frames with a ghost runner on second. Not ideal. The Braves plate discipline. Wow, I'm struggling. I can't even say struggling without struggling. The Braves plate
discipline. Come on,
discipline.
Joe, you got this.
Oh, my goodness.
Struggling.
The plate discipline for the Atlanta Braves is non-existent. And what has come of that? What is the result of that? The result of that is that the Atlanta Braves, who had gotten the divisional lead of the Phillies down to 5 games, now find themselves 7 games out of the division with 25 to play. That's not overcomable. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Phillies for winning the NL East. Now, what do you have to tune in for? The wild card. And I have bad, bad news for you. Not only did you let the Philadelphia Phillies run away from you with the NL East title, but now the Atlanta Braves hold the final wild card spot by 0.5 game over the New York Mets. With 25 to play, the Mets are within a game. The Cubs are within 3.5 games after going 8-2 in their last 10. And the Cardinals are within 5.5 games at this point. I'm not saying the wheels are off. There's still 25 games. And over the past handful, the Braves started putting lumber on leather a little bit. So maybe there's a chance. I will tell you, that was a disaster. That was a disaster for Atlanta, and I don't know what comes next. All right, very quickly, let's get to item number 3. This one announced last night, the Mountain West and the Pac-12 did not come to a mutual agreement before last night's deadline to extend their football scheduling beyond the 2024 season. It is theoretically possible to circle back for next year, but now it looks like Oregon State and Washington State, the two teams that did not find a place to land after the conclusion of last year, those two teams will have to build independent schedules for the 2025 season. ESPN reported that there was too steep of a gap of disagreement on pay between the two to settle it, to rectify it, to come to a deal. The lack of an agreement stems mostly from the Pac-12's priority to be flexible for more changes down the line in college athletics. Financial factors also played a role. According to ESPN, there is not believed to have been any substantial talks for either the Beavs or the Cougs to join one of the remaining 4 power conferences, according to ESPN. Ladies and gentlemen, it is official. While we wanted to say that it was not, while we wanted to pretend it was not, the Pac-12 is dead. RIP to a legendary conference. It is over. That's your water cooler cheat sheet, top 3 sports stories you need to know for today, September 3rd, 2024. Let's take a break. When we come back, Gamecock fans, it's your turn. That wasn't great. That was frankly quite disappointing. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I had a thought during the break. Was that Corey? Did I just talk over Corey rudely?
The fact that you don't know, I think, is funny.
I couldn't hear because I was talking and I don't have headphones on, unfortunately. So I didn't actually hear the clip. I just assumed it was Corey.
Here, I'll play it again.
Oh, no, I'm glad I talked over it then. I had a thought during the break. And my thought was this. There's an interesting story, I think, that developed this weekend about the transfer portal. Yeah. Mike Norvell and Dabo Swinney, both of these teams, Florida State and Clemson, find themselves in a precarious situation after this weekend. It's not that Clemson lost, because as I've said, and yes, Gamecock fans, I am coming to you, but I had this thought and I want to throw it out there while I can. It's not that Clemson lost. It's how Clemson lost, right? It's not that they went down to the number one team in the country. It's how they went down to the number one team in the country. And then on the other side, there's Florida State, who is 0-2. They are the third team in FBS history to lose back-to-back games while being ranked in the top 10, in which they were a double-digit favorite. On one hand, you have Dabo Swinney, who has zero transfer portal players as a part of this football team, at least incoming from this season. Of course, there are three schools that do not have a transfer in. Two of them are military academies. One of them is Clemson. On the flip side, you have Mike Norvell, who has a large chunk of his team is built out of the portal and has been for a couple of years now. To me, what this is saying is that the reality about the transfer portal, like everything else, is something that needs to be viewed through a prism. There's a spectrum here about the proper way, the best way, the most effective way to utilize the transfer portal. Because I think on one hand, I saw an article yesterday that was headlined, Dabo Swinney's refusal to use the portal has made Clemson a second-tier football program. And with respect to Clemson, I don't think it's unfair to say that it is a second tier team at this point. On the flip side, last year, the belief was that the transfer portal had moved Florida State from where they were, probably a third tier football team the year before that, to a first tier football team. Well, they're not anymore. They're not anymore, not after what we've seen out of Florida State in weeks zero and week one. So when I've got a guy over here that's a portal king, but also a guy that has a team that I think I am comfortable now describing as Willie Taggart-ish. What do I mean by that? Team with no discipline. And I think they put that last night on full display. No discipline, uncomfortable. I got guys late in the game with the ball and an opportunity to at least get yourself within one score and give yourself a chance, that are out here committing unnecessary roughness violations on guys half their size well after the play is over. That's an undisciplined team. I've got a team that can't get their blocking assignments right on the offensive side of the football. I got a team that is getting shoved around by the Boston College offensive line on the defensive side of the ball for Florida State. There's no discipline. There's no aggression. There's no toughness. There's no chemistry. I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe this is going to take some time for this team to gel, right? It's a bunch of guys that are all coming over from other places, a bunch of guys that have transferred in. Maybe it'll take some time to gel. Maybe they'll take some time to kind of find their stride, find their chemistry. And then I had to remind myself, that was Florida State's second game and Boston College's first. That's not an excuse nor a reason, all right? So I think what I'm taking away from this is that what I've said about the portal leading up to this year is correct. The portal is a spectrum. It's not a one size fits all. It is not something where you go, all right, if you want to be successful, you have to build your whole team out of the portal. And it's not something that you can say, if you want to be successful, you have to avoid the portal entirely. I think that the coaches that are having the most success with it right now, and this is why I'm very interested to see what Ole Miss looks like when they get into the heat of SEC play. Of course, Ole Miss welcomed Furman down to Oxford, Mississippi this past weekend and put up, what was it, a 70 spot on him. I'm interested to see what Ole Miss looks like when they really get into the meat and potatoes, because Lane Kiffin went a lot more Mike Norvell than Dabo Swinney in his utilization of the portal. But I would also argue that this is going to be kind of school by school, right? I think the bigger schools, the blue blood schools, basically need to be far less reliant on the portal than some of the smaller schools. I think it makes more sense for a school like an Ole Miss, which is a, respectfully, second tier school within its own conference. I think it makes a lot more sense for them to dive into the portal and to live in the portal than it does, say, a Clemson. But I think you've got to work it. I think you've got to work it to find the cover-ups for the weak spot in the team. Mike Norvell is a guy that for 2 years now, Norvell has been living in the portal. For 2 years now, Norvell has been working in the portal. For 2 years now, Mike Norvell has been utilizing the portal to fill up his running backs, his wide receivers, his quarterback, his defensive back, his linebackers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that these things are, important, but I think we are learning as of late. I think we are learning down the line that if you can't continue, if you can't find a way to recruit high school kids and bring them in and keep them there. If you can make that happen, you're giving yourself a chance. And I'm looking at guys like Kirby Smart. I'm looking at guys like, and I understand he is, I hate this sentence, on the hot seat, Ryan Day at Ohio State. I look at the Alabamas, right? Dabble in the portal, find a portal guy, get some portal guys, add these portal guys to spots that you are weak. But while you are doing so, continue to address those spots with the portal and recruiting. Because I'm looking at Florida State, a team that last year the portal worked exceptionally well for. But is it fair to say at this point, and I think the answer is yes, is it fair to say at this point that when it comes to the transfer portal, it's supplemental, not primarily your source of talent, right? Like it should be a supplemental talent resource, not primary, but it's not really optional at this point, I don't think. I think it's become mandatory. And I know that there's this thing we heard Dabo say all during the offseason over and over. Well, you know, we didn't use the portal because we didn't want any of the guys that were in there, and we do love the guys that we have in the locker room. Well, I look, that's one game. And that was one game against the best team in the country, allegedly. And keep in mind, this is the same Clemson team that last year struggled out of the gate and then won, what was it, five of their last five down the stretch, got into a bowl game, won the bowl game, right? Like all of a sudden, Dabo was out there saying, hey, if Clemson's a stock, you better buy all you can right now. And it felt nice. It felt good. Sure. The problem is, if you're going to be a championship team, you don't really get 6 weeks to develop anymore. You got to be good out of the gate, which means you got to find the spots that you're lacking out of the gate, and you've got to address those. So on one hand, I've got Mike Norvell, who is a guy that knows how to work the portal, but I don't know that he necessarily knows how to get great chemistry out of the guys that come out from the portal. Remember, they're all coming from different places. They're all coming from different cultures. And then I got Dabo, who knows how to build culture, but he doesn't know how to use the portal or refuses to do so, which says to me, the truth about what needs to happen is somewhere in the middle. And the coaches that figure out how to walk that tightrope, how to live that balance halfway between Norvell and Sweeney, those are going to be the ones that are going to subscribe to succeed, pardon me. Back after this, let's break down that South Carolina Old Dominion game next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. South Carolina Gamecocks escape Old Dominion in their opening contest of the season. It was quite contentious. Of course, obviously, we had a lightning delay in that game that lasted quite a while, but the Gamecocks were able finally to get back out on the field and they knock off ODU in their week one contest. Your final score in that game was, of course I just put the whole thing away. I want to get my box score up because I want to talk about this contest. South Carolina, with the win over ODU 23-19, a game in which the Gamecocks entered as 21-point favorites. They end up as 4-point winners overall. Now, you know, there's the obnoxious old good teams win, great teams cover. Sure, okay, fine. Let's talk about why this team did not cover. I'm going to start with something that I think is probably going to be relatively contentious amongst many Gamecock fans. I know Lenora Sellers has got legs. I know Lenora Sellers can move. But Lonzo, if you run this cat 22 times into the teeth of a defense like Georgia's, 22 times into the teeth of a defense like Alabama's, he ain't finishing the season.
I disagree with you. And here's the reason. He's somewhere between Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton as far as his size goes. The main problem I saw with him is there were lanes where he should have ran and he didn't because he was trying to pass. He could have got more yards if when things opened up in front of him. I think he doesn't want to be run first guy unless they're calling a play where he is supposed to run. What I saw from him, I'm pretty excited about it. His only problem is he's slow. Everything is slow, methodical, and prodding. And I think as the season goes, he's going to get quicker. And when he gets quicker, look out. A lot of drop balls for him too. But I think he needs to run more. And I think he's built to be able to handle that. He's the best running back on the Gamecock team, unfortunately. But he is.
I mean, Rocket Sanders is right there. I will say that I'm intrigued because it felt to me again like we're going to be playing behind a at best mediocre offensive line for another year in a row. It is what it is. If your offensive line is getting bull rushed and worked by Old Dominion University, they're going to get worked by every SEC defensive line.
From what I recall, I believe they said that Old Dominion is a veteran team. And what you talked about with Florida State, about them learning all the pieces and everything, South Carolina's got that too. And they came out with a victory. I'm choosing to be more positive, and I know it was Old Dominion.
I know, and I don't get it. I don't get it. I would feel fine if this was hell. If this was against pick a secondary bottom feeder in the Southeastern Conference. If it was that kind of performance,
let's pick a secondary bottom feeder in the ACC. Let's go with, I don't know, maybe Clemson.
Okay, I'm not gonna let you. I appreciate it. We're not gonna throw shade at Clemson because I'm throwing shade at South Carolina.
That is not why. You said secondary bottom feeder, and right now, if you look at the records, that's what Clemson is. And you can't go secondary bottom feeder for the SEC right now because the perennial bottom feeder just had a major upset and with Vanderbilt. I mean, who is the bottom feeder in the SEC right now? Who is it?
Well, I mean, listen. Vanderbilt's win over Virginia Tech. Ton of props for that. That's a hell of a win. Here's what I'll say then. That offensive line performance against Kentucky will get Lenora Sellers killed. That offensive line performance against Ole Miss will get Lenora Sellers killed. That offensive performance against Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, which is a three-game stretch that this team will have to go through. Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, and A&M before they're, by the way, on the road at Vanderbilt, which now doesn't feel like that gimme layup of a win that we thought it was going to preseason. That offensive line performance and designing runs. I'm not talking about Lenora Sellers on a pass play deciding to pull it down and take off. That's wonderful. I'm talking about the number of designed runs for Lenora Sellers. I can't have you designing 17 runs for this quarterback, a first-year QB1 into the teeth of the defense. And the problem is you go back-to-back SEC matchups in the next 2 weeks. You're at Kentucky this week. You're back home for LSU, a now very ticked-off LSU team.
So?
I can't have that happen.
So, I mean, it depends on what your expectations were for South Carolina. They're not picked to be at the best mid, at the worst where they were last year. I'm taking more positive out of it. They won the game, which is what you're supposed to do. Was it ugly? Yeah, it was. But I believe they learned things and they're going to be better next week. They're going against Kentucky. I mean, is Kentucky a juggernaut? LSU, I get. By the time you get to LSU, though, you should have worked out a few more kinks. Lenore Sellers gets a little bit faster. They're running him because he can handle it.
I don't know.
Do you say the same thing about Lamar?
No, and they don't design that many runs for Lamar. There's not 20 designed runs for Lamar Jackson in a game. There's just not. Lamar, if you want a guy like Lamar, in fact, I would go, it's dramatically less than that. Because the strength of Lamar, and it is what you need to do with Lenora Sellers. The strength of Lamar is they want him to throw the football. They want him to throw the football. And if he's got a run, then he can run. I was watching Dow Loggins run Lenora Sellers into defenses. Designed runs. This is a QB draw. This is a QB sprint. This is not a pass play that falls apart and then Lenoris takes off because nobody's open. The reason that works for a Lamar Jackson is because Lamar's got the arm strength to hit any throw on the football field. And so when you move the pocket over and you have Lamar sprinting out to the right, you're dragging a tight end across. You're bringing a backside wide receiver on a deep post. You're running a fly route with the near side. Maybe you got a slot who's running a wheel. You're throwing four options out there, and you're telling the defense, he can hit any one of these guys. He can hit any one of these guys. And if you cover all four of them, that means he's one-on-one versus a defender out there, and we think he can beat him with the legs. That's what needs to be done with Lenora Sellers. And instead, I watch them just have Lenoris run sprint outs out to waiting linebackers, out to waiting cornerbacks on the outside. That play calling that I saw while trying to take advantage of the legs of Lenora Sellers ended up being about the legs of Lenora Sellers and not the arm of Lenora Sellers. And if you have a running back that you start leaning into that, I'm telling you, when you've got a stretch of Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, and A&M, he's not coming out of that uninjured. There's too many beefy dudes over there.
Yeah, and I disagree with you, but it's a normal thing. You're going up against a team who you should have won by more. You did not. Do you put everything out there and show them everything you got? The score would have been more if the fake field goal touchdown hadn't been taken away. They got down into the red zone and did not get into the end zone a couple of times, which they should have done. I saw a bunch of positive things. And I also believe you're not going to show everything going up against Old Dominion that you're going to do against Kentucky or LSU or further down the road. You won the game. It would have been more if penalties hadn't taken things back a little bit. I refuse to be as negative as some people seem to be.
I mean, as it usually is, it ain't negativity. It's realistic. That's what this is. This was uninspiring out of South Carolina. It was bland.
Wow.
You got bailed out by your defense because, yeah, sure, we can talk about that. And if the quarterback from Old Dominion doesn't fumble the ball on the 1 yard line coming out, it probably isn't as close because Rocky doesn't score from a yard out at that point. Here's what I saw. What I saw last year, or what I saw in this game, was a highlight of the fact that this team was carried last year, and I see Hugh just showed up in the stream and said it exactly where I was going to go. You got carried by a first round by an NFL caliber quarterback and a first round wide receiver last year. We said it last year. What Leggett and Rattler were able to do last year, to me, was the reason those two guys got drafted where they were, because there was nothing else on that team. You were hoping this year you were going to find a breakout wide receiver. Lenora Sellers, and I'm not saying Lenora Sellers ain't going to be the guy. I'm saying I think Clemson and South Carolina have one thing in tandem right now. And it is that neither one of them seem to be able to scheme their stars into stardom. Mike said, my expectations were not getting lucky against ODU. Yeah, that's it. That's it. The reality here is, if your game plan this year is going to be, if all else fails, run Lenoris, Lenoris ain't going to be there for you by week 7, week 8. Because he cannot. I know he's durable. I know he's thick. I know he's big. I know he's beefy. I know he's meaty. He's also a dude. And there's a lot of other thick, beefy, meaty dudes on SEC defenses that love teeing off on a QB.
Are they on Kentucky? Those guys that you're talking about? Does Kentucky have any of those guys?
You are vastly underestimating what Kentucky is.
I'm just asking. You didn't answer the question. Are those guys, those dominant defensive guys that you're talking about, do they play for Kentucky?
Not as many as they're going to be playing for LSU the week after that.
You take it one game at a time. You get better each game.
No, you get better each game.
You can spew all your negativity. You're not going to affect me. I saw some things that could have done better. Of course, it was the first game of the season. But they won the game.
You beat the Monarchs, baby. You beat a Sun Belt team. You escaped a Sun Belt team, South Carolina.
Good.
That's the high expectation.
There are some teams who ain't won a game yet. That's all I'm saying.
Lonzo, if Clemson escaped Old Dominion, you'd be in here victory dancing and going, oh, you suck. I told you you suck.
Hey, Rob, so? So I'm not going to pretend. I have never in nearly 30 years of radio said, I am unbiased. I am not. I am biased. If you want all the hate Clemson fans, send it towards me. Don't send it towards Rob. I could take it. I am going to be negative against Clemson, even though I'm the one who said they were the ACC, and they were for a long time. They are not anymore. And as far as the Gamecocks goes, I'm going to be positive about it. And I'm going to be biased. I am. So when I speak, my voice is biased. So what?
All right. I, on the other hand, am going to tell you what's wrong. Because what's wrong is what needs to be fixed. What needs to be fixed is what needs to be done better. I'm not going to come in here and go, yay, everything's super duper. We won the game. Yay. That's not good. What happened in Columbia this Saturday was bad. There is no shine on the turd that I saw. I'm sorry. There's just not.
Wow. There's so many positive things going on in life for you to be this negative. It's unsettling. It's horrible.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned because the positivity hour with Lonzo, he is just going to whisper sweet affirmations into your ear about how everything's great everywhere all the time after he reads this Sports Flash.
We know Rob hates feet. Apparently, he loves ears because he uses that a lot. Florida State has become just the third school in modern history to start the season 0-2 after being named a preseason top 10 team with a 28-13 loss to Boston College last night. Former Clemson Tiger DJ Uiagalelei completed 50% of his passes, going 21-42 with 272 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase failed to practice again yesterday during Cincinnati's final practice before official game week activities as he continues to hold out for a contract extension. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor said Chase's status for game one this week is fluid. It's fluid. We don't know if he's playing or not. Tune in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. It's Furman versus Charleston Southern right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan, Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.